Okay, we're starting hour number three here on the morning show on this hump day. And good morning to Francine Russell.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah.
I'm back.
You're fresh from another, you went to Clear Creek Middle School on Monday.
We were, yes. We were at Buffalo High School last week doing workshops with the seniors with Empower Wyoming. And on Monday, we were doing workshops with the entire eighth grade at Clear Creek Middle School.
So little different, probably a different way of reaching out those kids.
It is. And with the eighth graders, we basically sit them down. We separate the genders. So we have men talking to the boys and we have women talking to the girls. Matt Aspinall and Derek Andrews are the guys who volunteer a lot with us and mm-hmm. work with the boys. And Kate Harness and I were talking with the girls. And we sort of address the things that they're about to face. They're about to move into high school. They're about to become teenagers. And we sort of preface it by telling them, we're going to tell you all the things we wish someone had told us at your age, and it would have been so helpful. And a big focus of that discussion is sort of filling them in a little bit about how very different the opposite gender is, and understanding better how the opposite gender thinks, and so that you can help avoid miscommunications as they get older and start dating and start having relationships. And sometimes you can see their eyes get really big. It's an eye-opener for them.
Definitely an eye-opener, yeah.
I think for the girls, it's always difficult to conceive that how much the boys are focused on sex and how much sex is a big topic. And I think for the boys, it's an eye-opener to really accept that the girls aren't wired that way, and the girls aren't because it's so, I think, prevalent for the boys. It's hard to imagine that there are people out there who aren't also thinking about this a lot. And and communication, we really stress to the girls. We have a bad habit, I think, as females, of not saying exactly what we mean and not being really clear and just stating it. And we think we are. We kind of talk all the way around it.
And boys get so confused.
They're so confused. And, you know, that whole idea of letting him down easy means you basically leave this boy completely confused about what is going on. And so we're giving the girls the message about, that's a little bit of our job, is being much more clear. When the answer is yes, say yes. When the answer is no, say no. No is a really difficult word for females to get out. It seems rude. It's, you're worried you're going to hurt people's feelings. And so on the one hand, you've got boys being told, well, when she says no, no means no. But on the other hand, you have girls who rarely actually say that word. So that's part of what we were. And also we've got the men talking to the boys and explaining to them that girls have a hard time just saying that word. And so we're also emphasizing a lot more about consent and about, yes, did you get a yes? Forget about the whole no thing. Did the other person say, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to go out with you. Yes, let's have fun. Whatever.
When you split them up like that, guys together and the girls together, which group usually talks more?
Well, it's funny. I think the girls, well, we learned a couple of years ago that it all goes so much better with chocolate. So we come in with like a whole nice big bucket of chocolate, and that helps initially. And with the girls, we just kind of sit on the floor in a room.
I saw the pictures on Facebook. Yeah,
we sit on the floor and we just have a little gab fest. I think for the boys, I've been actually surprised, because I've heard from the men who have talked to the boys that they've gotten really good comments and really good feedback from the boys, more than I perhaps would have expected. It kills me because I can't be in the room and actually see any of this. I just have to hear about it secondhand. But they've actually had boys tell them, thank you for talking about this. Like, nobody's talking to us about that. I mean, I can't go talk to my dad about some of these things. So
yeah, dads are horrible at this, you know.
Well, it's not, you
go
know,
ask,
I think,
your mom.
Yeah, I think some of the conversation that we're having with them is conversation that's very uncomfortable for parents. They just don't even know how to approach it or bring it up. And we're just giving the kids a whole lot more information. And we just, it's like a fire hose. You know, we are just giving them so much info, and you hope some of it, the right pieces stick with the right kids. And, you know, one of the things that we mentioned with them was photos, sexting, you know, kids sharing photos of themselves and sharing sometimes photos that are inappropriate or partially clothed. And it's just become the thing. It's the norm for them.
And
now,
we call it pornography.
We call it pornography. But letting them know that if the photo, the person in the photo is under the age of 18, even if you're under the age of 18 as well, mm-hmm. technically, legally, you are in possession of child pornography. And if you share that photo with someone, you have shared child pornography. And you see their eyes get big when you say that because they didn't realize that. and we talk a lot about control, what you can control and what you can't. And one of the things for the girls is controlling those photos. You know, it's like, number one, if those photos are not taken by you or anyone else, if they simply don't exist, then you never have to worry about them. Once you take them, and especially once you share them with someone, you have lost control of what happens to those photos.
Right.
And so, you know, letting them know you're not helpless, you're not victims, you have control and you have choices. And you can give up that control by choices that you make. So a lot more of this is in your hands than you realize.
You know, I can think of you know, girls getting together in a slumber party or something and mm-hmm. taking crazy
exactly.
pictures and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your supposed friends mm-hmm. may have pictures of you.
Exactly.
That is out of your control.
And, you know, Josh Stensis, who works with our attorney's mm-hmm. office here, he actually reached out to us a couple of years ago because he said, I would love the opportunity to speak to these kids. And he's actually come and talked to the boys a couple of times. And he also passes along to us things that he's seeing currently that he would like for us to address. And the sexting was one of them. And he said that he's also seeing a lot of instances and hearing of them where students blackmail another student. It doesn't necessarily get into the legal system, but somebody has photos, they blackmail another student into doing things because they say, otherwise, I'm going to release the photos.
It's kind of another form of bullying.
It is. Definitely. And while most of the time it's still females who are the victims who have photos that are being held over them, sometimes, though, it can be girl on girl in terms of the blackmail. It could be a girl who's gotten, like you said, slumber party, something mm-hmm. like that, and she's gotten inappropriate photos of another female, and she can use that to blackmail that female into doing things as well.
Well, the freedom of having having your phone with internet capability, you know, you broaden your horizons. You have so many different opportunities to stay informed, mm-hmm. but the use of those phones can take your innocence away.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I remember how, you know, you grew up as a kid and enjoying your friends and doing some crazy things. Now, anything that you do can be recorded for posterity.
And that was another topic that we always touch on with the eighth grade students and with the high school students is pornography. And it's really frightening. You look at statistics, there's a whole lot of articles about it, but even talking locally with the schools, the counselors, starting in middle school, the boys especially are accessing pornography in huge amounts, very graphic stuff, you know, and they're doing studies now and just starting to sort of put together what the repercussions are of this. And of course, for these kids, this is all they've known. This is normal to them. So we sit down and we sort of spell it out for them. This is new. No human beings on this planet ever have experienced what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And we're not sure what the fallout is from that. We're just now finding that out. And, you know, some of the big problems are, you know, if boys start accessing this at a young age, well, this is their sex education that they're getting. And they're thinking, maybe this is what all adults are doing behind closed doors. And maybe mm-hmm. this is normal, what they're seeing. And, you know, of course, pornography is a very skewed perspective. Females never say no, mm-hmm. you know. And it's a very male perspective. And it's a very unhealthy. It's never about relationships, about equal partnerships. It's not loving relationships. It's just sort of use them and move on to the next kind of thing. And so that's the message that these boys are getting, that's how they're supposed to treat women. That's what male-female relationships look like. And so on the one hand, we've got our men talking to the boys about the dangers of this, and we're the females, we're talking to the girls and saying, you're going to be dealing with guys who have seen this, not just guys that you date, but your friends, your brothers, and you may be the one who's having to explain that that's not real life, that's not relationships with real females. It doesn't work that way. I actually get a say in this, you know? So it's scary.
Well, studies have shown that that pornography can actually change your mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's an addiction element to it, what it releases in the brain, and there's a definite addiction. And, you know, Matt Aspinall made a really good point. He said anybody who sells something that can be addictive, like cigarettes or drugs or pornography, they want to target you in middle school. Because if they can hook you on their product mm-hmm. in middle school, they probably have a customer for life.
Right.
And, you know, once your brain starts getting hooked into this at a very young age, it's going to be much, much harder to break that addiction later on.
Francie, the scary thing is, you know, you've said before that that's their norm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we talked before we went on the air, that pornography when I was growing up is you find a magazine in your uncle's closet.
Yeah.
And because it was hidden, you knew it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so you secretly looked at it, but you knowingly, hey, this I'm probably not going to should have this because it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because it's so prevalent and available on your phones and everything, that's their norm. They don't look at it initially as,
exactly.
Well, this is wrong.
Exactly. And I think that's part of the scary part of it. And we, you know, on the one hand, we're giving these kids a lot of warnings and sort of explaining to them red flags to look for as they go into their teens and move into high school. But on the other hand, we're also trying to give them information about what healthy relationships do look like, what you're aiming for, and how to tell the difference between them. And I think for the girls, maybe, you know, there can be a lot of pressure always for girls to do things they're not comfortable with in order to keep a relationship, in order to be popular, in order, you know, to mm-hmm. be liked and not be ostracized. And so I think that's a big point for the girls is explaining to them, if this isn't something you're liking or enjoying or want to do, then you have the right to say, no, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in fact, I read something once, and we posed this to the kids this year. They get asked a lot, what do you want to be when you grow up? What job do you want to do? What career do you want? And we were asking them, maybe think along the lines of, what problem do you want to solve? What problem do you see in the world around you, and you want to be part of the solution to fix it? And we pointed out to them that for us, it is prevention of assault, prevention of sexual abuse. That's our problem that we're working on to solve, that we're passionate about. Maybe they've got something else that they see, another thing that they feel like they would be qualified. And I think I like that. It gives kids a real positive something to look forward to, something to aim for as they're moving into mm-hmm. adulthood.
You know, you do adult programs to mm-hmm. prevent assaults. Mm-hmm. You know, work with the women.
Mm-hmm.
As you were talking, I was thinking about these young boys growing up with the prevalence of pornography, and those are your adult males mm-hmm. predators that would assault women later mm-hmm. on. You know, you're training women on how to be safe and to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do about these guys that, you know, they're already out of school? They've dealt with their pornography on their phone. Now they're in their 20s and 30s, and they think a certain way that's probably a little skewed.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do with those guys?
Well, most of my career in self-defense, like 25 years of it, most of it has been teaching teenage girls and adult women. And a little bit with kids, but mostly teenage girls and adult women. So I've really seen everything from that perspective. Actually, since moving to Wyoming, I've been working a lot more on looking at the boys and addressing that problem. How do we offer something that we teach the boys as well? Because it's got to be a two-way street. You can't be just teaching one gender. And in preparation for the workshops that we just did at Buffalo High School, I was talking to a lot of my instructors, my male instructors who work with me, and we had an instructor from Los Angeles come out and join us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had so many conversations about this. And of course, when it comes to assault, The majority of predators and assailants are male, but that does not mean that all men are predators and assailants by any means. In fact, when men get assaulted, it's a male who's usually right. assaulting them. So there is a small percentage of the male population that is the problem that we have to be concerned about. And I think the big element with men is all the good men out there need to be educated, need to understand how big this problem is, and need to understand how desperately they are needed in this fight. Because men will listen to men in a way they will not listen to women. Mm-hmm. Men can hold other men accountable in a way that women cannot. Also, and this is another little scary fact, once a male grows up into that abusive man, there's not much we can do at that point. I mean, nobody's come up with any good program to rehabilitate an abusive guy. They've tried a lot of different things. But, you know, for the abusive man, he's in a position of power and control. What do you offer him that's better than that? You know, addicts will often reach a point where their whole life is in ruins because of their addiction, and they realize they've got to change and do something different. But for abusive men, life is pretty good for them. You know, everybody does what they
and
want.
And they become a role model for their the kids. Their
exactly. And then it becomes a cycle. So you really have to be teaching boys. You have to be reaching them when they're young, when they're kids, when they're still in school, and making sure they go down a different path and not that path. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think the programs we're doing in the schools are so important, and it's so important that it's men who are standing up in front of them and talking to them. Men who are giving them positive role models and positive examples of what... Because, you know, boys are kind of hierarchical. They look to the top dog. And so you got to put a really influential, great top dog in front of them so that they can emulate and move up. It's kind of fascinating. I'm really very excited, and we're working very hard on putting together programs specifically aimed at tween and teen boys. And I think deep inside boys, there is that desire to be the warrior, to be the protector, to be the hero. I mean, that's why comic books are so popular with boys, you know? Yeah. They want to be that hero. And so you have to define for them a healthy definition of a warrior, a protector, a hero. It's not just the guy who walks in and beats everybody up. That's not the hero. And we've got a grant now on the Wind River Reservation. We've been there for the last few years doing programs, and we're working on developing something for the boys on the reservation. And of course, being a warrior is definitely within their culture, but the warrior was always the one who protected the tribe. And sometimes that meant going and fighting a threat, but a lot of times that meant providing. That meant making sure that everyone was safe, safe from sexual assault, safe from abuse. That's part of being a warrior and a protector and a hero. And so I think you really have to approach it that way. It's very common for men and boys, as soon as you start saying the word sexual assault, they just shut down. You know, it's really uncomfortable topic for them to discuss.
Me. Yeah. That's not me. I'll never do that.
I appreciate that. And he's like, what? What are we talking about? And so, you know, you have to find ways to bring those topics up that don't cause the boys to just shut down. Hmm. That keep them listening, keep them engaged, and help them see their role in this. And we often, and I've heard this, you know, for 25 years working in this field, we often get told, you know, oh, well, you just hate men. You know, it's a man bashing thing that you teach or organization or whatever. And it's not. I mean, we have teaching teams, and they are male and female teaching teams. It is not men against women. It is men and women against violence, assault, abuse. And it has to be both genders doing it. And the men who work with us are amazing. Just amazing men, and all of them have kind of gone on a little journey themselves, mm-hmm. of becoming aware of this issue and aware of what they could do. You know, one of our male instructors in Sheridan, he is a highway patrol officer, and he said in law enforcement, of course he was aware to some degree of, you know, abuse and assault, but once he started working with Empower and started sitting in these workshops and hearing woman after woman after woman, they've all got stories. He said he had no idea how prevalent it was and what a huge problem. And I think his daughter is still locked in the basement and will be until she's 30 at this point with all that he's learned. And sometimes it is daughters. A lot of the men who end up coming to work with us, a big motivating factor was they became fathers and they have daughters, and that scared them. So, but that's okay.
We'll I would bet that your organization is always looking for, like the Marines, a few good men.
We're definitely always looking for a few good men. We have three instructors who wear the suit and do the self-defense workshops with us. We have one in Lander, one in Riverton, and one in Sheridan. Definitely in the Buffalo Sheridan area, we are interested in training another guy to do that kind of work. Okay. The guys, they train a lot with us. They do kind of an apprenticeship with us and work with the workshops and learn a lot. And then we end up taking them to Los Angeles for the final training, and they get fitted with their suit that we can do the full force fighting. The suit that they wear is not something you can buy anywhere. You can't go buy it on the internet. Each one is custom made for the guy who wears it, and they're expensive. So part of that apprenticeship process when they work with us is making sure they're a good fit for our organization.
Yeah. And that they'll stick
and then
with
they'll stay in their passion, you know, making sure they've got the right passion for this. And I'm amazed the three men that we have right now are just awesome.
Anybody listening in would are interested in finding out more about it, and maybe they're the person that you were looking for. Mm-hmm. They can call you.
They can call me. The phone number is 307-620-1511. They can also check out our website, empowerwyoming.org.
New website.
Yes, it's a new and revised because we just became a nonprofit last year. And there are some videos on there. In fact, there's one really good video of Kelly in Sheridan talking about why he does what he does and what his role is in the class. So we've got some videos on there that people can look at, and there's a lot of information there. There are impact chapters. We teach the impact system, this the full force adrenalized self-defense, and there are other chapters in other cities, and the Los Angeles chapter has a really extensive website too. They've been at this since the late 70s, so sometimes I also refer people to their website. They've just had time to put more stuff on there than we've put.
Now, what's your next event that you're putting on?
We are headed tomorrow to Bighorn High School. We're doing workshops with a seniors in a life skills class. This is, I think, maybe our fourth year, at least, I think, doing the workshops with them in Bighorn. And at the end of the month, headed to the Wind River Reservation now that we've got a new grant from the Wyoming Community Foundation. Very excited about that. So we're headed back to the Wind River Reservation. And we're also working on establishing the kids program that we have here with the ambassadors, our ambassadors who are volunteers and who've been going into the schools. We have a grant from the Jenneridge Foundation, which is part of the Scott Foundation. We have a grant to start finding those volunteers, recruiting volunteers, and training them in Sheridan so that we can start offering the same kind of programs in the Sheridan schools.
Okay. Busy. Empower Wyoming is busy.
Yes, we're busy.
Okay. Well, and we've been talking to Francine Russell with Empower Wyoming about the perils of growing up.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Francine, for being on this morning.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a break and be right back with more.